Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on Season 3 of Black Lightning. Now, like we're doing for most of the CW shows this season, we're going to do this in multiple parts. This is going to be a before-crisis and after-crisis segments. There is no crisis episode of Black Lightning, so we're not going to do that kind of single-episode segment. And based on how this ended going into crisis, maybe there's not an after-crisis part. I mean, I'm sure there will be, but...
But it feels affected by crisis.
Oh, absolutely. And it was one where, up until this last episode pre-crisis, there was nothing building into it. There was no awareness of the multiverse, and it was just their story. And this season, that had been very much around the turning point they ended last season on of, there's a war with Markovia coming.
Yes.
And they've leaned heavy into that.
I've had a few issues this season.
How so?
The technology.
Yes, we've talked about this a few times offline and stuff. And it went from a reasonably modern day level of technology last season with, okay, you've got a few things for the Black Lightning suit or whatever, to now there's a force field around Freeland. There's all kinds of other super high tech stuff. Even before, there was the stuff for the resurrection and the augmentation of Khalil.
True, but it really, to me, felt like we did like a 10-year jump in technology. We went to the clear tablets at the ASA.
Well, to me, it was less like a 10-year jump, but a hard right turn into a sci-fi show.
Yes.
The entire ASA pit location-based kind of a thing might as well be a space sci-fi show sort of setting.
Well, and really, in terms of hard right turns that the show has made, instead of having the school be a real central aspect of it, the ASA has taken over that central aspect.
We've not spent much time at the school this season.
We've been there just long enough to know that Jefferson passed his tests with the ASA such that he came back to school, and not only did he still have a job, he's been promoted to guidance counselor with a pay increase in fewer hours.
Yes.
And the principal has no idea what's going on.
And I'm not sure Jefferson's been back to the school since.
That's about how it feels.
And we've had...
Well, he went back to the school to get beat up by the
ASA. Right, you're right. That was the other time. It was just a token kind of, when the school is needed, it's there. Otherwise, it's, you know, forgotten about. Much like where Lynn used to work at the university.
Yes.
The clinic that Anissa works at.
Yeah.
We've never really seen the tailor shop this season. We've seen the underground part of it.
Well, and the underground part of it is connected to these tunnels under Freeland, mm-hmm. to the point that there have been a few times where I've had to ask you, are we at the underground to the tailor shop? Are we not at the underground to the tailor shop? At one point when we were where the four people in the pods were by the clinic, I was confused about which set of tunnels we were in.
There are times it's hard to know where we're at because some of the stuff either looks so alike or the has been so poorly established, or just the shot was so poorly established.
Yeah.
That it was kind of unclear.
Well, some of it is brick and cinder block do look different, but when they do a really quick fade from the cinder block to a door set in brick and open the door, and you're like, oh, we just suddenly faded away from one set of tunnels to the other. And somebody thought that was a clever fade. And visually, yes, it was clever, but it didn't give me the and we moved locations feel.
There's clever and there's effective.
Yes.
And part of it is, like, whenever we would see the outside of Gamby's shop, we pretty much had that one angle on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what else is on that block, what's around it, where these tunnels could possibly go, what part of town is it in, how far is it from where the Jeffersons live, or Jefferson lives with his family and stuff, or the university or the clinic or Anissa's place or...
Well, and it's funny you say it that way because Anissa magically moved between seasons.
Yeah. She had been staying at the house, had gotten then, I guess, his father's house, and now she's got this magical loft thing. And it's funny because she's got a closet that was very much akin to the Batgirl in the Batman TV show.
That's what I was thinking.
Where the panels slide away and out goes, you know, all the stuff. So there've been some changes this season. I expected some of that. I had expected more other metas.
Mm-hmm.
We've not gotten a ton of them. We did get one who has Earth-like powers, who, for my mind, seems to kind of, sort of, but not quite be a stand-in for Geo-Force.
Okay.
Who is the leader of, other than Batman, of the Outsiders.
To me, we have this illusion that there are other metas in two contexts. We have the metas, they're in the pit. We're not seeing them, but we're told they're there.
Yeah.
And we're seeing a few of them, like the Chameleon and a few others that Lynn is testing on. But then we have the people of Freeland that we've been told theoretically have a gene that could be activated.
Yeah, and we've seen Cape Guy and one or two others or whatever. We get enough of a hint of it that we're supposed to just fill in the blanks.
Yeah, and I think that's where my problem is. They're asking me to fill in a lot of blanks.
Well, and they give us just a little, like when we got at the radio tower.
Yes.
Gambi meets up with a guy who calls himself Technocrat or whatever, I think it was.
Yeah.
And I think, I haven't had a chance to check this, I think he might have actually been one of the Outsiders.
Well, and he was one that either Gambi had recruited or knew the recruiter of, because he had the original file on him.
I think he had been the spotter for.
There you go.
I think it goes back to the 30 years ago stuff.
Yeah. And that was a nice episode.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who come out of the pods and disappeared, but had found himself a place he was comfortable in this new society.
Well, and just, there was a brief touch on the powers he had weren't that big of a deal then, but they take on a whole new meaning now.
Yeah.
Of talking with computers.
Yes.
When everybody's walking around with three or four on them, it seems like.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
Well, and it was an interesting equivalent to telepathy in terms of, so often we hear that telepaths don't want to be in a crowd.
Yeah.
And you would think that someone with that equivalent to technology, a crowd of people, doesn't seem like it will affect them until he points out everyone has a smartphone, a tablet, and those devices are constantly talking to one another, to the satellites, for the GPS.
Yeah, when you can hear all the electronic communications and you realize there's the Wi-Fi routers, there's the smartphones, there's just all this chatter going on.
Yeah.
So I thought that was well done, but kind of underplayed to a degree.
Yes.
It was mentioned but not dwelt on, which is fine, but...
But the way we pulled his file out later made me wonder if he's going to come up in the second half of the season.
I'm expecting him to.
I was hoping.
And I'm expecting the kid with the Earth powers to absolutely be a major factor.
They've definitely built him up in a few ways.
Yeah. The interaction of his powers with Jen's, something's going to happen there. We've still got to figure out what's going on with Khalil. There's a lot that is... in play.
Well, we've turned Lynn into a drug addict.
Yes, she's hooked on green light. Well, at kind of Odell's manipulation.
Yeah. These shows, all of Arrowverse, they seem to like to deal with big issues like addiction and things like that. So on the one hand, I get it. On the other hand, it felt forced, and not just because Odell admitted to tricking her into doing it.
Yeah, and it, when that kind of stuff came up in Arrow a couple of times, it made sense for the characters.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't really make sense here, and there's an aspect of almost mind control going on. At least, you know, very blatant, targeted manipulation.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm expecting... there's going to be an arc for Lynn to get off of that. And really, I think it's going to drive her being instrumental in pushing Odell out of Freeland.
Well, but there's also the flip side of, now that she's had the green light exposure, do we discover she has a power? Because we had, first season was really the season of Blacklight. Second season was
Thunder.
Thunder.
Now we're getting Lightning. She doesn't have powers in the comics. And I'm not sure if they give her powers what she ought to have. It needs to be a non-combat power.
I was thinking a healing of some sort. I mean, everything she has is empathy and healing by nature.
Healing and stabilization of the metagene or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or a sensing of what the powers are going to be. I could see that. That would work. Kind of an augmentation kind of a thing, not a combat power. Yeah, up until this episode that we just finished, that really is taking place during the week of the first three Crisis crossovers, and aired after Batwoman, this was a self-contained universe.
Yes. To the point that when they were in this episode, they had Jen moving between different Earths. They still didn't identify which Earth this is on.
No, this one, they didn't say, but it's clearly not Earth 1, because it talked about Earth 1. Although it doesn't seem like what's going on in that Freeland would fit in the big picture. And they talked about Earth 2, which I'm thinking, but we saw that wiped out earlier in the season in Arrow. So, timeline-wise, I'm a little confused.
Well, but that's also geographically separated writers' rooms. You've got a show filming in Vancouver and a show filming in Atlanta, and whether or not all the writers' rooms are together.
Yeah. To me, that's something that, depending when they filmed this, they could have actually had watched the episode where it was wiped out in Arrow just on TV.
I think they chose Earth 2 because that Jen was kind of like Earth 2's Laurel to Earth 1's Laurel.
No, I get it. It made sort of sense, but...
But I had your same hang-up of Earth 2 doesn't exist at this time. This is rubbing me wrong.
And there are a couple of times, it's like, which Earth did we bounce to? That was a little unclear. Why do they all spell the name differently for Jen?
Mm-hmm.
And it...
It was a great episode for the actress.
Yeah, Chyna Ann McClain did a terrific job with just everything from at the beginning where she's clearly the young Jen we know trying to figure out how to tell her sister some stuff. Oh, I'll just go see you face to face versus a video message. And then we see these different versions of her and different things that happen to her family.
Mm-hmm.
And she did a terrific job.
Yeah.
Now, I would like to see her used in the Crisis crossover because her powers were such that she was literally bouncing between worlds and such. So for her not to get used there would be a little unfortunate. And then at the end where we see, you know, Black Lightning getting blipped out, presumably by either the Monitor or Harbinger.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be interesting to see how that plays out in the Flash episode.
Yeah, it seemed like the whole family and Gambi got pulled as the wave was going through the room.
I took it as they got wiped out.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
He got pulled because we saw the Flash around him, but they kind of discorporated as it went through.
Interesting.
Which is what makes me think we're going to get a reconstituted either universe or multiverse.
Yeah.
And how they come back from all of that, I don't know.
Yeah, and they never established which Earth we'd been on.
Nope. We might get that in the Flash stuff, we might not. But I'm expecting just Jefferson, possibly Lightning, to show up in the crossover.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it hits them totally unaware because, I mean, they've had a hell of a lot going on and no big picture interaction so far.
Yeah. Well, and what they established for Earth 1 was that Jen had gotten hold of the Medicure that presumably the one Sisko had made and had put in the water supply for Freeland.
I hadn't put that together, but that makes sense. And obviously they hadn't written until here. It would have been nice to have had some mention of there was, you know, it had gotten loose in one city
mm-hmm.
before they had taken care of it or something.
Yeah.
There's a couple of things where when you do a shared universe, trying to tie everything together is hard.
Yes.
But when you can do it, it really pays off in dividends. And when you've got little things like, hey, what about, it takes an otherwise good story and shows some cracks in it. Because you're putting more pressure of other shows involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the Jen of Earth 1 was saying, you know, she put the Medicure into the water supply, I was like, it's got to be what Sisko created, which isn't what I would have thought of. And it goes against what Sisko and Caitlin had decided, of people have to have the right to choose.
Well, absolutely, but it begged the question, how did she get it, how did she even know about it, and a bunch of other things.
Right, but it's an interesting, she did what they had decided not to do, and it's a how that possibility played out. And in that case, Odell basically sentenced her to, what, 5 years in the pit or something for taking all his weapons away from him.
Yeah, but if it had just been a thing where they'd had a quick montage, we see Cisco, we see the cure, we see her figuring out how to go get it, you know, that sort of a thing.
Yeah.
Or even if it was a news flashback of, you know, the Star Labs cure invented by Cisco Ramon, you know, was taken and released, you know, we don't know how, kind of, you know, something.
Yeah.
So it's got a lot going on, and I'm expecting the Markovia stuff to get wrapped up this season, and I'm unclear where this show goes from here. And if you'd only been watching Black Lightning, knew nothing about the other shows, you're coming at the end of this thinking, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
And they had the continued in Crisis on Infinite Earths kind of a thing. And it's a big enough promotional thing that you probably had heard about it. But I could see where some people might be a little taken aback on that. And it's the same sort of thing that would happen in the comics. You're reading a title, a line-wide event comes in, and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah.
So I think this has been a little darker version of the show this season. It's always been kind of dark.
Yeah, but, I mean, they've touched on a lot of good stuff, and, I mean, they've called Nyssa Harriet as a joke from season one. Mm-hmm. She's the activist in the family and stuff, and here she sets up an underground railroad to get Meadows out of Freeland. So it's kind of a whether or not they had any idea they would do that kind of thing from season one. They've played on their own inside jokes.
I think they kind of had to. I think they knew there was going to be a race aspect to the show, and that using the metahumans as an allegory for that, much like the mutants over at Marvel, makes sense. There's a precedent for that, obviously. And it allows them to take some stuff in a little bit different direction than it plays out in the real world. You know, but play on the similarities on you're different, therefore you're bad.
Well, and there's, I mean, the wall.
The force field wall and stuff like that, and the separating kids from their parents, a lot of rip from the headlines, but taken in a blatantly sci-fi direction.
Yeah.
And to me, it's sci-fi, not superhero.
Yeah, which I found interesting. Complete with a metahuman disease outbreak in the detainment center.
Yeah, it's a good show, but I long for the days when superheroes would, I don't know, fight crime?
Yes. Well, and Odell troubles me, because I can never tell when he's telling the truth or not.
He's always telling his truth, and it serves his interests.
When his guy comes in, the major that can take meta powers from others, and then tells us that at the end of a fight that the Markovians have come into the facility. But during the fight, he was telling the guy he was fighting, I trained you better than this, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on with that character or who they, if he's pulled from the comics, who they think he is. He reminds me a little of Parasite, but he doesn't drain the other person. And there have been a few characters that can kind of duplicate other people's abilities. And I don't get why he's so anti-metahuman when he's very blatantly a metahuman and benefits from other metahumans.
Yeah.
So I think there's a little bit more work they need to do establishing some of these characters, their backstory, and their motivation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the people in the ASA exist solely to fulfill Odell's will.
Yes.
And there's an aspect where it's like, I guess that's okay, but on the other hand, I'm wanting a little bit more.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to the second half of the season, how it wraps all this up.
I'm particularly curious how the next episode picks up.
Yeah.
And if it's basically Jefferson coming back and explaining what the hell happened in Crisis. Mm-hmm. Or Jen explaining what happened in Crisis.
Or
do they just kind of brush it over and just move forward?
Yeah. Or if they have to kind of adapt to a new reality.
Which I'm expecting they will.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
So there's a lot to have happen. And some of it comes down to how Crisis plays out.
Yeah.
So, should be good, should be interesting, and we'll come back and talk about it once we've watched the rest of the season.
Sounds good.
Cool. So, we have just finished watching the second half of the season, everything kind of after Crisis, which was another 7 episodes. It was a 16-episode season. And that first episode we essentially have Black Lightning flying back into town and talking on the comms, really to nobody, although he's trying to talk to Gamby, kind of recapping some of the highlights of his adventures in Crisis, going to another world, that kind of a thing. But really, other than that, and a little bit when Black Lightning and Jen first talk, and when they first talk to Gamby, kind of talking about both her adventure and his adventure and stuff, because we get her coming out of that realm she had been bouncing between at the beginning of the episode. Other than that, there was really no discernible impact from Crisis on this show.
Part of that, though, was that the city had been in a lockdown. And now what had been not specifically a force field, I don't think. Well, maybe it was.
We'd seen the force field earlier in the season. That was still there. But now, because it's in the same world as National City, Gotham City, which actually gets referenced a few times, and Central City and Star City and all those things, you would, if they had at least had some kind of you know, why isn't the Flash doing anything about this? Why isn't Supergirl doing anything about this kind of comments or something?
Yeah.
But other than the, hey, Superman's real, just kind of dropped in at the beginning of that first post-crisis episode, we get a mention or two of Gotham later in the season as being where Odell's from and where people may end up. But while this was disconnected and had a strong enough storyline outside of Crisis, I wasn't expecting things to radically change. But I was expecting them to retool things at least slightly.
Yeah.
Have some way to reference the other shows or something.
Well, because they were cut off from the rest of the country, etc., when they did leave Freeland to go to Markovia, and they had kind of the everybody sitting on the helicopter trying to fill time, because you had some millennials, I think it would have been interesting if they had had their tablets out and been kind of scrolling through the news, catching up, and had a headline about Supergirl, a headline about Batwoman, etc.
Great idea. I hadn't even thought about that. That would have been a great thing to do. Definite missed opportunity.
You know, just a nod to the fact that now that they're on the same planet and in the same universe as the rest, it's to them commonplace news, and have Jefferson be the one kind of reacting to the, this doesn't seem odd to you.
Well, and also just perking up as he's hearing these stories of, oh, this happened again and kind of, and again. And you could have had an exchange of glances with Gamby, who had told him, hey, don't let on that things are different.
Well, yes, but we had had a line from the Lady Major of kind of a, you know, this is the team you pull together.
Mm-hmm.
Give me the word. I'll bring in my number one commandos. If he had had a line about, I can bring in other people, that's not the point. We handle our problems in Freeland.
Yes. Some reference to, I do have other friends.
Yeah.
That could come in and stuff, but too soon to ask for that kind of help. I think we can deal with this on our own. Yeah, the part that bothered me when they headed out to Markovia was we have a scene where it's like, let's assemble the team. Then we cut back to base as if they've disassembled, and what it sounded like we're about to head off turned into, no, we're going to do this in a couple of days or something.
Yeah.
But there's an urgency to it.
The big, we need to leave right now pep talk was actually the big, okay, now that we've formed a team, we need to do all the strategizing and, well, like for the bin Laden takedown, they say they spent weeks going through a dummied up house to make sure everybody knew where everything was and how to do it.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of, okay, let's go practice at the pit or whatever, but they could have sold that better. They could have at least said, hey, we're going to have to train for this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what we know. Our intel might not be good. Once we've, you know, we're going to have X amount of time and then we go. A line or two of dialogue would have helped there.
Yeah.
But what bothered me is when they finally took off from Markovia, they skip over leaving Freeland entirely, getting on a plane to go to whichever, you know, I guess Europe is where it is.
Yeah.
When we see them, they're in this helicopter. And I had commented, it's like, I guess it's closer than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, what is this? You know, somewhere in Canada now? It was a missed opportunity.
They did reference a plane later.
They did. They did, but only in passing. Part of it is I think they had too many things going on for the amount of screen time they had.
Yes.
We had not only the whole Markovia war with the metahumans and stuff, we had Lala trying to make a play for power in Freeland.
Mm-hmm.
We had the whole ASA storyline. We introduced a couple of other metahumans.
We went through Lynn's addiction storyline.
Which I don't think they really... Well, they haven't resolved. No. That's something that will play into next season.
Well, and honestly, I don't feel it was a necessary storyline.
I don't think it was necessary. Well, let me rephrase it. It's not a question of whether it was necessary or not. I don't think it had the payoff it needed. It was something that got tossed out there in a... It's starting to happen. They planted the seeds well. We saw it happen. It's just that end part of, is she over it? Is she dealing with it? Is she just skating by and it's going to come in next season? I was expecting, I don't say a clean resolution at the end of the season, but she acknowledged it and is continuing to hide it.
Yeah.
So that's that character's arc next season.
Yeah. Well, they took a very strong, very intelligent character.
Mm-hmm.
And decided kind of she needed this weakness. And I really felt they'd given her good complexities before in terms of she and her husband had a great relationship, except she didn't understand his need to help others.
Yeah, but I think part of the problem was not only was her arc the whole addiction thing, it was how to help the metahuman kids.
Mm-hmm.
It was her dealing with Tobias.
Yes.
I mean, there was so many things they were trying to do.
And that's why I feel addiction was one too many and unnecessary.
Yeah, but I think you could argue that for half a dozen other things.
Her helping the metahumans gave a reason for her to be in the pit.
Absolutely.
Gave a reason for us getting that perspective on those stories and a lot of information dumps.
Well, and her relationship with Dr. Jace, I think, would have worked better without the whole addiction thing.
Yeah.
Playing into it. It got to where it was a fairly busy season with certain things getting introduced and sort of dealt with.
Yeah.
The whole painkiller, what's going on with him and stuff. The minute we went back to that mental mindscape a second or third time, it's like, okay, he's going to flip, get turned, and we're going to have to deal with that through the remainder of the season. And it was okay.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a certain amount of scorched earth going on, which, okay, they're doing this war. How Markovia could surround an American city?
Yeah.
I'm still not sure. And they really gloss over all of that. And that bothered me. But things that had been major fixtures in the series, we got back to Garfield High a few times,
mm-hmm.
but it was unrecognizable as such. It was now a base of operations for the Resistance.
Yeah, and a place to shelter and kind of hide metas.
Yeah, but at the end of the season, we're just nuking location after location. The pit, Gambi's shop, things like that. And your comment afterwards had been, well, this frees them up to physically move the show up to Vancouver if they want to.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad idea. If they can do that, that allows them to tie in better with the other shows up there of Supergirl, Flash, and Batwoman and such.
Mm-hmm.
Is Batwoman shooting up there?
Chicago.
Chicago, okay.
Well, I thought Chicago. I'd have to double check.
I know they use Chicago as Gotham. I just don't know how much they shoot where.
That's an interesting question.
Centralizing the shows in a common physical area makes the crossovers easier. It allows guest starring easier and sharing of resources a bit easier.
Batwoman might be filming in Vancouver now, though I thought they started filming in Chicago. So that's a very interesting question.
Yeah, I'm not sure. But there was so much going on with this show that, again, retooling major things for Crisis, I think, would have been a mistake.
Mm.
But we didn't even see really any minor changes.
Well, even if we had just had something as basic as Jennifer and Anissa complaining that with the lockdown of Freeland, they could no longer get their Catco news.
Mm-hmm. Things like that would have worked. Why isn't, you know, LexCorp doing something about this? Or
yes.
If we only had these resources of Argus or whatever.
Yeah. Little references.
Yeah. The introduction of Gravedigger and that kind of backstory as him being kind of the first metahuman sort of worked for me, sort of didn't. Tying him in to Black Lightning's family line seemed a bit gratuitous and unneeded.
Well, but it seemed to highlight why Gravedigger was only the hero of his own story and not actually on the side of right.
Did his family relationship to Black Lightning and stuff really help that storyline any?
It was more a final nail in the coffin of he might have been trying to do the right thing. He was just going too far in terms of he was willing to kill even members of his own family.
Yeah.
For not agreeing with him, even when he found out they were members of his own family.
I know there's a Gravedigger character in DC. I thought it was one of the members of Sergeant Rock's Easy Company, but I've never been really into the war comics, so I don't know for certain. At one point, I thought there was going to be references to the Creature Commandos, which was another World War II group of soldiers. One that was essentially a Frankenstein, one was a werewolf, that kind of stuff. It was in weird war tales. This seemed to have nothing to do with that. But that character almost seemed to be more akin to, I think it was the Isaiah Bradley Captain America over at Marvel, which was, you know, an African-American Captain America, actually, I think, predated the Steve Rogers one, retroactively, of course. They inserted him into the continuity. And going with that kind of Captain America gone wrong analogy and stuff wasn't a bad thing.
Yeah.
I expect to see that character again. You don't spend this much time establishing that character and then just use him for the 5 or 6 episodes we saw and then throw it away.
Yeah.
They tend to hang on to characters for far longer than that. No, we still have Tobias going around.
Yes.
So it was not a bad half of season, but the group expanded considerably. We bring in Technocrat, TC.
I like him.
He's fun. He was good. He is one of the outsiders from one of the various runs. We bring Grace into the fold a bit, but then put her in a position where she may or may not come back next season, or would only be recurring potentially, or could be a regular depending where they want to go. They leave the door really wide open on that. You know, contract negotiation time. We add in
Brandon,
whose code name was hinted could be Geoforce. His story never really got all the way and resolved. So yeah. I'm thinking maybe we get more of that later, next season or something. But he seemed to still be around. We brought in, was it Erica? The girl that could absorb kinetic energy and such?
Yes.
Never got a code name for her. But there was almost enough to field kind of two teams.
Well, we almost doubled the number of people who knew about the Sanctum.
Oh, absolutely. The Sanctum was getting very crowded.
Yeah.
You know, when it comes time to assemble this team to go over to Markovia, you know, we've got Black Lightning, Thunder, Lightning, Grace, Brandon or Geoforce, TC, Erica.
Gambi.
Gambi.
Khalil.
Khalil.
And Grail, the officer from the ASA.
Yeah. I mean, so we've got, you know, 10 people or something there.
Yeah.
So it got to be a fairly busy season in many respects. Because, again, that's not even factoring in the group of characters around Lala, around, you know, the ASA proper and stuff. I think they need to focus the storyline a little tighter for the arc, but also leave a little bit more room for some side stories.
Yeah.
Because it seems like everything in this is always around the arc and there's almost no breathing room for the most part.
Well, in some respects, I think they need to decide what they want to do with Jefferson and Lynn. Do they want to heal their relationship now that Lynn has a new and different understanding of Black Lightning?
I think that's the long-term game plan, but it's got at least another season before they're at the point where they can really patch it up and start to establish a firm relationship. She's got more of the getting over the addiction for next season.
Because, I mean, they seem to be putting them onto that path, and then they kind of threw the addiction in there as just a, this isn't interesting enough, we need to give her the addiction so she has something interesting to be doing.
I wonder how much of that is the writer saying, let's do this with this character, and if any of it is the actress saying, I want more.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Because I thought it would be interesting, since we had kind of the season of Black Lightning, and then the season of Thunder, and then the season of Lightning, to do the season of Mom doesn't need powers. Her superpower is Mom. She is intelligent. She has an inner strength. She holds the family together.
Yeah, but I would argue, as much as this was Lightning's kind of season, it was also Lynn's season. She was front and center in most of the storyline.
In a lot of ways, yes, but to me, it didn't feel like it was a positive put her forward season.
I agree with that.
It felt like it was an undercut her season.
But I don't see next season as being that, because it's got to be that coming out of the addiction redemption arc. Well, that's on a more positive note. It's starting from such a bad place.
Yeah.
And going that whole addiction route is shades of what they had done with Laurel in a season of Arrow a couple of years back.
Yeah.
So it's easy to, you know, when they've got this many seasons of this many shows, to see those kinds of parallels and such.
I mean, I liked better what they were doing with TC.
Yeah.
Look, you know, getting along great with computers is fantastic, but you still need the humanity, the human skills, the human interaction, the food.
I think it was some good stuff with Gambi on that, but it never had enough time to really progress.
Yeah.
And that's where I think they need to focus the main story to allow a little more time for those things.
I agree.
To define these characters a bit more. We never really learn a ton about TC or a ton about Brandon and stuff.
Yeah.
Other than they're there when we need the powers.
Well, and they did hint at something they could do next season. Now, whether they'll follow through on it or not, they proposed something that, not using a DC reference, but sounds like a school for the gifted.
Yeah, the boarding school. I'm curious what they're going to name that. I do think that's going to be something where they can bring in some other metahuman characters.
Well, and last we heard, Jefferson was on this very peculiar, he's the school counselor, getting paid as much or more than the principal, but not really having to show up for work thing.
Yeah, that was all first half of the season, ending on that kind of a note, and then that didn't get touched on at all.
Yeah.
Second half.
So, conceivably, Jefferson's the principal at the boarding school.
It could be almost the new Garfield.
Yeah.
It would be interesting to see if they go that route, who all the students there and whatnot, because they could have it double as a base of operations for the group.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm unsure where they're going with that. That was stuff that they tossed in during that hearing or whatever that took place in Gotham City. And that scene in Gotham didn't look like the Gotham from Batwoman. But, you know, c'est la vie. I didn't think to check the credits on that scene because there was references to judges on that panel with the same last names as the original writer and artist for Black Lightning. And I'm sure that was name dropping. What I'm not sure is who played those roles. For all I know, it could have been the writer and artist, which would have been a nice touch.
Yeah.
And not totally unreasonable, given that Marv Wolfman actually showed up in the final part of Crisis. So I like how they're doing those kinds of nods to the creators and such.
Mm-hmm.
And this show is not only doing a lot with the Black Lightning character, but the surrounding Outsiders characters. Again, of a couple of different iterations of the Outsiders, including ones that didn't, as I recall, have Black Lightning in them per se. Although, ironically, they tended to have Thunder, Grace. I don't think Lightning was ever a member of the Outsiders. I think she was a member over of the JSA.
Mm.
But again, it's been a while. So I think they've got a good cast. I think they've got a good storyline. What I don't think they've got a great handle on is how to keep that storyline focused, how to keep it tight, how to keep things in play.
Yeah.
Because there was a couple of times it's like, yeah, we didn't get any of this plot line. We've got this episode last episode.
Mm-hmm.
We got it the one before. So certain things kind of have to get shoved to the side to spin the next plate, if you will.
One thing that was quite prominent the first half of the season was dropped entirely until the last episode. The reporter who was trying to get reports out about what was going on in Freeland.
Yeah, the whole news blockade thing was totally dropped, and the reporter showed up long enough to get written out of the show.
Yeah.
And no ramifications on that.
Well, and actually the character we haven't talked about is Henderson.
Yeah, yeah. He was killed off. Decent death.
Yeah.
Although the way he died and how long it took him to die didn't totally make sense for me. I liked the character. I liked the actor. I don't think it was a great role for the actor in so much as, well, he did great with the character. They didn't know what to do with the character.
Yeah, they just didn't give him much.
He was there to either be a confidant, or not a confidant, but a friend of Jefferson, a co-worker of sorts, ally of sorts, a begrudging ally of Black Lightning and stuff, and then to give Black Lightning a hard time.
Yeah.
And then to sort of lead the resistance within Freeland. And then for him to just get, you know, it almost feels like he was executed by the writers.
Yeah.
And just what he was doing in that place at that time didn't fit from the last time we'd seen him in the previous scenes. So I get why the actor might want out of the role.
Yeah.
Because they just didn't know what to do with him. Again, I liked the actor. I liked how he played the role, given how it was written.
Yes.
Which is where I think the problem was. And I liked how it was a nod to the Inspector Henderson character from the original Superman TV show. Granted, a very different version of the character, but given that Black Lightning originated in Metropolis, using that character from that other TV show, or referencing, mm-hmm. you know, being inspired by, I guess would be the way to put it, kind of made sense and was cool. But that was another one of those almost house cleaning things they were doing at the end.
Yeah.
You know, a number of characters were either potentially written out, they walk off in a way that doesn't mandate they walk back on next season.
Mm-hmm.
That, again, they could physically move the show, they could recast some additional characters or whatnot. Other than that boarding school idea and Lynn's, you know, getting over the addiction storyline, I really don't feel there's much that's mandated that they do next season.
Yeah.
Whereas a number of other shows have ended seasons on almost a cliffhanger thing, but they've got to address that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe for an episode or two, maybe for most of the season. Smallville was always bad about that. It seemed like almost every season, every character was in major jeopardy and, you know, maybe they don't make it and they don't survive next season. You know, we get enough to, oh yeah, they didn't make it at the first episode and we just move on from there.
I used to watch a show where it was always bad news if a character got on an airplane.
Mm-hmm.
You just never knew if the plane was going to crash, whether or not they'd survive. Sometimes, you know, 6 weeks later, they would be found having been rescued by somebody yeah. from the crash.
It gets them conveniently off screen in an anything can happen mode.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've got the main family of you know, Black Lightning, Thunder, Lightning, and Lynn, and Gambi available for next season. But beyond that, they've got some wiggle room.
Yeah.
And I'm curious where they go with this. I'm curious if they tie it a little tighter into the other shows, which I think they should.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to continue with almost the gang warfare type stuff and metahuman warfare in Freeland? Or do they find a way to kind of break from that a little bit and go in a little bit different direction? And do they try to tie in this origin of metahumans that presumably they'd been building to for a while to the metahuman type stuff over in Flash of three or yeah. four different variants, the aliens over in Supergirl, you know, all of those different things.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Because there was not even a scene near the end where he finally, I mean, there was one other time when they had a family dinner when Black Lightning mentions he kind of helped save all of reality.
Yeah.
But very obliquely and not even and they talked about it later at dinner.
Yeah.
Just kind of, oh, you one-upped us, let's move on. So I like what they're doing with this show. It's got a different feel from Flash, Supergirl, Batwoman, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow, which is good. I think they can integrate it a little bit more into those other mm-hmm. shows, that shared universe now, without majorly retooling it. But I think going for so much of the season where Freeland was literally trapped in a force field bubble,
yeah,
cut off from the world, stretched credibility and didn't make sense. I don't think it was a smart move.
Yeah.
And I want to see ramifications of that next season.
Well, and like you said, the Markovians surrounded them and it seemed unknown to the rest of America.
Yeah. How are they getting all these resources into America and surrounding a city that nobody seems to care about?
Yeah.
So was interesting. Again, I didn't expect Crisis to have major ramifications. It did not. They played out the story they were doing decently. 16 episodes for the season, I think. I think they were writing it as if it was more like a 18, 20, or 22 episode season.
Yeah.
And they just didn't have the screen time they needed to really flesh stuff out.
I agree with that.
Still fun. Still looking forward to next season. I'm curious where they're going to go. Other than, honestly, I'm not looking forward to the whole Lynn getting over the addiction stuff.
Yeah, I agree with that, too.
I hope that's a subplot that they resolve, I don't say fairly quickly, but without too much screen time over the course of the season.
That was my feeling. Yeah.
Slowly, believably, and...
Well, and frankly, in a way that doesn't further weaken the character.
Yeah.
Because I don't think she needed that. I think she was sufficiently flawed before they brought in the addiction.
Yes.
And the only thing the addiction did was weaken her versus give her believable flaws.
I agree with that. I think it was not a wise move. It was not needed. It didn't help the character or the season.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.